This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Hallelujah, Father. You're so good. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, again to invite others. And thank you for an opportunity again next week to draw near to you, Lord, and to trust for others to do the same, Lord. We bring each person before you, Lord, each colleague, each neighbor, each one that we inviting or have invited, Lord. We pray that you would draw them close to you, Father. We pray that you would remove every obstacle, Lord, that would keep them from meeting with you, Lord. And we trust, Lord, we look to you as the author of salvation. We look to you as the beginning and the end, Lord, that you would come and save to the uttermost. We trust for each one that draws near to you next week. Each one that comes would have an encounter with you, Lord, would have a life-changing, transformational encounter with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We trust in you. We have a confidence in your presence and in your word, Father, and we trust that you would impact every life, Lord, in Jesus' name. So we consecrate this morning to you, and even next week, and we trust, Lord, for your favor, Lord, on every invitation, Lord. And yeah, we thank you even for this time this morning. We thank you that we can ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into all truth now in Jesus' name. That you would come and breathe on us, Lord, and impart life to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Thank you so much. So we had quite a cultural day yesterday. Our seven-year-old Abby, our Abby's turned seven, Abigail, so that's a bit crazy. Going quickly. In any case, so she was in the choir yesterday, and they also had a little, a RV thing going on. And I had such a laugh at Emily, because Emily is really keen on the stage. Right? So she, half a chance she gets, she wants to perform, and she wants to, you know, be in the limelight. So when Abigail and the children were on stage, she was sitting in the front row with me. She insisted that she wants to sit right in the front row. And she was also doing some of the moves, you know, lifting her arms. And so I was just lucky she didn't go on stage, only afterwards. But yeah, she was really having a good time. It was awesome. Yeah, so it's a beautiful time of the year, isn't it? It's look like spring is in the air, hey? Got some buds coming out, some blossoms coming out. Apparently, it's snowing in the Cape. Yes, it's true. It's happening. And that's what spring is like there, isn't it? Now, I remember living in Stellenbosch, and it was so many of the spring days we had, there was snow on the mountains. It was really cold. Any case, but yeah, it's warm. It feels like we've over the worst of the winter, and things are changing. And beautiful, isn't it, to see little growth happening and stuff coming up. We've got this kaperkie in our front garden. I don't know what that is in English. Any suggestions? Anyway, a kaperkie, little kaperkie flowers. And somewhere David heard that, my son is four, he heard that you can put these into salad. You can eat them, right? Which is true, you can eat them. It's something people do. It makes the salad look really nice, and they're edible. But now, it's a few times he's come and there's only one flower at the moment. He says, can I eat it, you know? So I said, what? And this morning he came to ask Anna again, can I eat it now, you know? I said, why do you want to eat the flower, you know? Doesn't it look nice, you know? So he's so keen to try and eat it that I suppose we'll have to give him a chance at one point. But I want us to... Actually, before I read the scripture, let me read it first. Let's go to the first one here in John chapter 15. Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just until there for now. So, I was this week reminded of the time when we were living in England, and the last place where we lived, there was this quite a big rose bush right in the front at the gate, and no serious gates or fences there, just like it was like this high, the fence, and there was a rose bush there, and it's been there for ages. You could see it was all grown into the fence, and it the stem at the bottom was quite thick already. But when we got there, it was quite huge. It was like just wild and standing all over the place. Didn't have that many roses on it. And I'm not much of a rose expert, but I've learned a little bit. And Gorbis and them will probably be able to correct me, but just hang in there. I was told, now you must prune this rose bush at the beginning, just almost like before spring, just as it looks like spring is coming. And I remember the first year I was pruning it and I was cutting and I didn't really have a clue, you know, I was just kind of winging it. And at one place I felt, yeah, I can't really cut anymore because I'm really probably going to do damage to this thing, you know. Cut off quite a bit. I thought, wow, this is a lot that I've cut off. And then a friend of mine who knew a bit more about roses came by and said, no, you haven't done much at all. You must cut it right down. And I thought, what? You know? and I was, you know, the next year I remember, I thought, okay, now I'm going to go big. You know, I'm going to cut this thing properly. And I actually, you know, Googled a bit, because Google is the expert in stuff like this, you know. Googled a bit about how you should do it, and I don't know if I did any good, but I cut it down a lot. And guys, the flowers that came out of that thing, the roses, it was incredible. The Lord reminded me of this, and I want us to have a look around this principle in our lives and our walk with God. How does it work when he prunes us? What is it all about? And how do we experience it? And just want to look at a few points around that. So if this kind of idea of pruning in our lives, if you know, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." If you know anything about actual the vines and grapes growing, they prune them right down. So they've got the thick vine that's the main stem, and then you've got the branches that come out, but they get pruned down almost all the way every year before to be a maximum fruit. And this is such a powerful picture of us being in Christ, because if that branch is not in the vine, if that branch is not connected properly, or if not growing strongly out of the vine, obviously there's no chance of it bearing fruit. So that's the first key there. How does it look in our lives? And obviously this can mean a lot of different things, and I just want to throw a bunch of them out there, the different ways that we may experience a season of pruning. Firstly, you know, there's different trials and tribulations that we face. Let's quickly look at 1 Peter chapter 1. look at one or two of those. First Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Speaks of us that having been for a little while, if necessary, have been grieved by various trials, and this tests our faith. So there are trials and tribulations that we face. There are difficulties that we're going through. That sometimes a season of waiting can have a pruning, can be a part of the pruning process. You know, if you're in a season of waiting, if you're a season of having to trust in God for something that you've been waiting for and praying about, that's, you know, the season of, yes, you know God has promised, but it's not yet there. That season of waiting is often can be a pruning season as well. Seasons of loss, often different kinds of loss that we experience can also, you know, bring us into that kind of pruning place. So yeah, you can think about it in your own life. There are times where there's a season where there seems to be less fruit, less going forward. It feels like you're taking a step or two back. That's what it feels like. It feels like you're not maybe going at a pace that you were going before, and it literally feels like you've taken one or two steps back. And if you look at the plant, like I took that rose bush down the second time, there was definitely a step back, right? So there was not much left. So that's a key one of a season of pruning. It feels like, and it can feel discouraging because it seems that you've taken a step back, all right? Now, let's have a look at another key scripture here in James chapter 1. Count it all joy, from verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Some translations speak about patience, endurance. Let steadfastness or patience or endurance have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, he doesn't say if you meet various trials yet. You see that it's kind of almost a guarantee, right? It's one of those givens. When you meet trials of various kinds, know that this testing of your faith produces patience. If there's something, there's a reason, there's something that gets produced. Let's go to the next one briefly. Now, I wasn't able to look under the ground when I was pruning this rose bush. But now, because it's been there for many years, I suspect it could have looked something like this. You go to the next one. And this is often why we get discouraged, is because when there's pruning happening at the top, there's growth happening at the bottom. When it feels like we're taking a step back, God is strengthening and establishing and nurturing in a different way, often that we don't see, right? So if I get this right, this is where the plant people must correct me, but as far as I understand it, when we prune, one of the things that happen when we prune is that the root system gets strengthened because there's more growth potential going into the root system and less going into the top. So it's one of the things that happens, and I think that's part of the reason why that rose bush did so well, because it already had a strong root system. If I looked at the stem of the thing, it was like serious. And even when I cut it down, none of it was visible, but the the strength and the potential was all there. And so now one of the things that God laid on my heart is that the first thing is the first year that I pruned that bush, I was a little bit skeptical, you know, didn't know what to expect, and I was a little bit tentative, right? Okay. But the second year, I was confident because I knew what was going to happen, right? And I believe that God wants to instill in us this morning a confidence in His faithfulness. That when it seems like there's not much happening, when it seems like we're taking a step back, when it seems like I'm not going as quick as I used to, or I'm not flourishing as I used to, that we can absolutely still be confident that if we abide in the vine, that there will be a season of fruit again. To not look at only what's visible to us, but to have a confidence in who He is, to have a confidence in His faithfulness, a confidence in us, in who we are abiding in. Does that make sense? Okay, so in a season of pruning, people get discouraged, right? We look at what's going around us, maybe, and this is a challenge often that we do, what we get challenged with, is we maybe look at somebody next to us, right? Somebody that you maybe came to church with, or somebody that was in your small group, and it seems like they're just taking off like a rocket, you know, there's stuff happening in their life, and there's fruit happening, and there's flourishing happening, and there's And unfortunately, we do this. We look at our own lives and like, oh, what's going on here? You know, we started off almost at the same place, and it feels like they're just in a different level now. And I'm going to encourage us. It's really not of God to look to the side and to compare ourselves to others. And that's where our confidence needs to stay in the vine. We cannot look at the branch next to us and think, why is this branch growing like this? But to really fix our eyes on Him and to keep our confidence in Him. Not to allow discouragement to enter our hearts. Not to allow the enemy to sow seeds of doubt, seeds of fear, seeds of discouragement. Okay? So please avoid, don't do the comparison thing. Okay? The thing is, next time it's going to be that branch's turn, right? Next time, next season, when you're flourishing and you're bearing fruit, maybe it's going to be a pruning season for the other person. So don't make that mistake of looking to somebody next to you and comparing ourselves. All right. So look out for the discouragement. Beware of the comparison. Now, there's a few things that need to happen in these seasons. I want to just encourage us with that briefly. Now, the first thing, if you just press the right one a few times, it's actually not that big. In any case, so I've just mentioned a few there, pressing into Scripture, pursuing the presence of God, and persisting in worship. There's one more in there. Yes, and prevailing in prayer. There's different ways that we can ensure that we are abiding in the vine. Different ways that we can ensure that in the season where on the surface there's less going on, we can be making sure that we are being strengthened into the vine. We're going deeper into Him, right? So if you find yourself in that season, don't allow the enemy to tell you, look, you know, you doing something wrong, or there's something you are worth less, or this is often the stuff that the enemy throws at us. You're not worth as much as the branch that's flourishing or the person that's flourishing next to you. maybe not making the bar, you know, you're not performing up to standard, all those kind of things. But we see in the scripture that we just read a few minutes ago that the branches that do bear fruit and that have the potential, those are the ones that get pruned so that there can be more fruit. So when you're going through that season, don't get discouraged. Now, one of the big roots of discouragement and doubt is the question of, is God with me in this season? That's at the basis of it. When the enemy throws doubts at us and fears and discouragement, this is the question that he's asking. Has God forsaken you? It looks like that. You know, he gives the suggestion. It looks like, it looks to me like you're on your own, man. And that is the basis of doubt and fear and discouragement, is the question that, has God maybe forgotten about me, or has he forsaken me? And we become situational atheists, I heard somebody say. So we are full of faith for other people. We pray for the guy in small group for whatever his need is. But when I'm in my room, or when I'm on my own and I'm facing the struggle that I'm in at the moment, I wonder, I doubt whether God really is with me. So in that situation, I'm a situational atheist. Are you with me? Does that make sense? And it's so weird, because it seems that I've got faith for somebody else, and I can, yes, let's pray, I want just for you to get healed or get a job or something else. But when that encouragement or discouragement comes into our hearts, it seems like we struggle to trust for our own difficulty or our own season of pruning. So be aware of those seeds that the enemy throws at us. So now, the what I've seen now with this rose bush thing as well, now the ones that we have in our garden now are quite small. We only planted them last year, so it's limited fruit that's happening, but I also pruned them this year. Hopefully I didn't kill them, but we'll see. The amazing thing of a time of pruning is it always precedes the time of great fruit. So the time of when it's the worst, it's the time just before the growth happens, and then the growth and the new growth comes out, and new fruit comes out, and that's where we need to have our confidence that while we are feeling something, maybe God is doing something else. You know the scripture where the Lord says that that we have this hope that we have in Christ. This confidence that we have in Him is an anchor for the soul. Isn't that an apt picture? It's such a good picture for me, because the soul is the seat of our emotion and our intellect. It's not such a stable thing, right? Like the one day it's up there and it's like amazing, and the next day it's down in the dumps. You know, the emotions are not always, are not the most stable thing. You know, the one day we feel great, the next day we don't feel great, or we feel down in the dumps, we get discouraged, or we're giddy, we're all on a high. That's why we need to be anchored. That's why the soul needs to be anchored in our confidence in Him. Because in Him there's no change. He is faithful. He remains faithful. And as we fix our eyes on Him, as we press into Him, as we, in the time of pruning, in the time of difficulty, if you and I decide, okay, I will not fall for this old trap of discouragement. I will not fall into this, step into this trap of doubt and fear. But I choose to embrace the purpose of this season. So that's another one, is do not miss the purpose of the season. And this can be in any season, in the season of flourishing and in a season of fruitfulness, but specifically in a season of pruning. Do not miss out on the purpose that God wants to see come to pass in your life in that season. The thing is, often we wrestle with God and we ask a lot of questions and we kind of almost want to fight with God, you know, in certain seasons. But I found, you know, when we humble ourselves, say, Lord, actually, I don't know what's best for myself. I have to humble myself. I don't know what's best for my family. You know better than I do. So I will humble myself. And I say, Lord, won't you show me what you are doing in this season? Won't you give me a revelation of what this season is all about? Is there something, why am I, you know, am I kicking against what God is trying to do? Or am I embracing what he's doing? And I must say, okay, Lord, let your will be done. Let's do this thing. Let's get this pruning thing over. It's not comfortable. In fact, it's painful. It's not nice. It's not convenient. But I trust in you. I don't want to kick against what you want to do. I want to run with what you want to do in my life, in my family's life. It's going to be painful. I mean, that's unfortunately with pruning and with change, there's often a painful process. There's an uncomfortable process that happens. Now, the problem with something like a comfort zone, it's where we like to be, right? It's a great place, a comfort zone. It's a place of peace, or it seems that way. And a place is comfort, you know, and everything is kind of like the way we like it to be. But have you noticed that there's no growth there in the comfort zone? Growth it requires change. And change is mostly not comfortable and not easy and not enjoyable always. So, you know, there's a part of this thing is to say, okay, Lord, I choose. I don't want to just live in my comfort zone. I want to embrace what you're doing in my life. I want to take a hold of the purpose for this specific season so that I can bear fruit that will bring glory to your name. So that at the end of this difficult season, or at the end of this pruning season, the new fruit can bring even more glory to him. That there will be even more that will give glory to his name. Amen? So when you're in it, don't give up. Pastor Fred always used to say, when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, when you're going through hell, don't stop. Okay? That's a good tip. You go. Okay, you'll catch it later. Anyways, you're going through hell. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't allow the enemy to paralyze you and keep you immobile in that place. But press through. Continue through. Press into him. Keep going deeper. Let the roots go deeper in that season. And this takes an act of the will, saying, you know what, I'm going to choose to abide. I'm going to choose. And it's one of this beholding thing, actually, always also that they were saying about the album. It fits really nicely with that. I'm going to choose to be present to God. I'm going to choose to dig my roots deeper into who he is. I'm going to choose to, you know, pursue his presence and abide in him, abide in his word even more than before. Because that's where my strength lies. That's where life happens, when we abide, when we press into him, when we allow our roots and we trust for our roots to go deeper than before. I'm just going to read one or two key scriptures. In John 16:33, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So he almost gives us that assurance, yes, it's going to happen. So don't try and avoid it. Don't kick against it. Take heart, I have overcome the world. And I just want to refer back to the first scripture briefly. You don't have to go back there, but I'm going to just read it for us again. I'm the true vine. Actually, not this one. Next one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's in this time of season, we've spoken about the anchor of hope, but that's when we need the living hope, right? Not a wishful thinking type of hope. We need a living hope that is in Christ and in him being risen from the dead. In the time of pruning, when you can't see what's going on underneath, when you're struggling to see what God is doing, or you're struggling to see the fruit or the growth, we need a living hope in the fact that we have resurrection power in us, the same power that rose Christ from the dead. Amen. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us and through us. And we need to dig into that promise and have the confidence. Our confidence is in him. Our confidence is in his faithfulness. And this is something that really, every time I minister to somebody, every time I have to bring a word, I remind myself of this and I pray of this. As my confidence is in him. My confidence is in the word and in his faithfulness for his word to accomplish what he sent it to do. Amen. So I want to really encourage us that part of the reason why we need to wrestle with God about this season and is that if we have an understanding of his word and we have an understanding of his will, when it gets really tough, I can stand on that promise. Amen. I can go back to that promise. I can go, and that's why it's good to write them down and to journal and to share them, especially with your spouse or close, you know, people that can hold you accountable, to say, you know what, it's tough now, but I want to stand on that promise that God made even years before. I can be confident. I can remain hopeful because he has promised. His word remains. His word will it will flourish in what he has sent it to do. So if you're in that season right now, I want to encourage you to go back to the promises, to go back to the words, to go back to the milestones of God's faithfulness in your life. It's always such an important thing to have milestones. That's why it's good to build them and to, you know, to make a scene or to, you know, to milestone is kind of celebrating when God has come through, celebrating God's goodness and faithfulness, making a scene about it, writing it down, testifying about it. And then when you get to a tough season, you look back over your life and you see the road marked with milestones of the faithfulness of God, of the goodness of God, of the grace of God, of the power of God. And that gives you courage to say, okay, hallelujah. Soul, you need to be anchored right now. I will hope in God. I will yet hope in God. I will yet push deeper. I will yet press on and trust in him. And my confidence is not in what I see. My confidence is not in the past, but my confidence is in his faithfulness and his goodness and his great mercy toward us. Amen? Hallelujah. I want us to close with a verse from Habakkuk. I think this one's taken. Hey, if anybody wanted to call their son Habakkuk. I don't know if that's a great plan. Eh? In any case, it says Habakkuk. Different. There's from chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Speaking of, can you see him being resolute about this? He says, even if all these things go pear-shaped in my life, even if all these things look like they're going wrong, I choose. I will yet rejoice. He's made this decision. He's chosen. He says, I will yet rejoice. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. And then he reminds himself. He says, God, the Lord, is my strength. And he takes me where I need to go on this difficult path. He puts my feet in the right places. Amen. If it's a tough season, if it's a high mountain, he makes my feet like the deer's knee. Makes me tread on my high places. He is the one that's faithful. Let's stand this morning. We pray. Hallelujah. Father, we humbly come before you this morning. Our Lord, we acknowledge, God, that we don't know what's best for ourselves and for our families, Lord. You know better, Lord. You know your ways are higher than our ways, Lord. And you know what's best, God. You know better than we do. And we humble ourselves and just want to just proclaim that over our lives, Lord, that you are good, Lord. Father, we thank you that this morning that your word breathes life, Lord, over every soul in this place, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word is able and your word, you are faithful to see your word flourish in what you've sent it to do, to bear the fruit that you have sent it out for, Lord. And I just declare that now over every life here, Lord, in Jesus' name, that your promise remains, Lord. Your faithfulness remains, Lord. Your goodness remains, Lord. And in every season, whether it be one of flourishing or fruit, or whether it be one of pruning and fire, purifying fire, thank you that our confidence is in you first, Lord. We trust in you, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, this morning. We declare your word over every heart, Lord, that in every trial, Lord, in every tough time, in every tribulation, thank you, Lord, for a persistence in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a resoluteness in our hearts to say, yes, I will yet praise you, God. I will yet worship you. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my firm foundation. Thank you for courage this morning to press through, Lord, in Jesus' name. I just feel the Lord wants to, right now, impart hope into hearts now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, I can speak now new hope into hearts in this place, in the name of Jesus Christ. A confidence in you, Lord, a hope in you that anchors the soul in the name of Jesus, that answers the question, is God with me? Say, yes, he has never forsaken me. He is with me right now. I thank you, Lord, that in every heart where this doubt has sprung up, or this, the enemy is trying to sow this fear or this doubt, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind every lie of the devil now, in Jesus' name. We take every thought that is not of God captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, this morning for a confidence that you are with us, Lord, with everyone, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you that your promise is that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that in Jesus' name, each heart here can know for sure that you love him, that you are with us, God, in Jesus' name. As every eye is closed, I feel this as one or two hearts where the enemy is sowing even doubt right now, and there's a thoughts going through your mind that actually I don't think God is with me. I feel far from him. And maybe some here are feeling I've chosen to be far from him through what I've done or through what I've not done or through just slipping away. Maybe you've been close to God in the past, but right now, you know, you've drifted away from him. I feel this morning the Father is inviting you to come close again. Say, my son, my daughter, I've made a way for you. I've made a new and living way. I've given the living hope through my son Jesus. And I'm inviting you to come close to me again. Maybe if it'll be the first time for you this morning, the Father is inviting you to come close to him. While every eye is closed, if you know in your heart this morning, you need to make right with him. If you know in your heart this morning that you want to draw close to God and you want to accept his offer of a eternal salvation through his son Jesus Christ. If you want to choose today again to lay down your life and to follow him as Lord and as Savior, to turn away from sin, to turn away from your old life and to pursue him, to walk with him, to follow him as Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray with you. Every eye is closed, won't you raise your hand for a moment? If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray just along with you right now. Is there anybody like that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you see every heart. Thank you that you know where every person is at, Lord. And I'm not going to call you forward, but if you've been going through a trial or a tribulation, if you've been experiencing something that's like it's been like a pruning, and it's been a fiery furnace, and it's been painful, and it's been difficult, and it's been tough. While every eye is closed, won't you just raise your hand? I'm not going to call you forward, but I just want you to raise your hand to God for him to see that you say, "Lord, here I am. This is me." Thank you, Father, that you see every heart, you see every hand, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you that you breathe hope over every heart now, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you speak new courage, Lord, over every heart, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for a determination, a resoluteness, and a courage to fix our eyes on you again, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, right now, that for a grace to see your faithfulness on our lives again. I trust, Lord, even this week, but thank you, Holy Spirit, that you remind us of every milestone of your goodness, every milestone, every monument in our lives of your faithfulness, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I just feel there's some hearts where the enemy has almost blocked and kind of hidden and tried to keep you from remembering God's faithfulness. He's almost trying to blind you from remembering and from seeing again his faithfulness. In the name of Jesus, we lift every veil now, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we lift every blindfold that wants to keep us from being in awe, Lord, of your faithfulness right now, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for grace, even this day, that we would be reminded and we would be rejoicing in your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord, that for a strength in every heart today to choose to dig deeper into you, Lord, to choose to abide into you, to keep abiding in you, to keep pressing into you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to choose, Lord, to find our strength in you, Lord, in Jesus' name, so that your name be glorified through the abundance of fruit, Lord, so that there be more fruit, Lord, and there will be more growth, and there'll be more people impacted and more of your kingdom coming in and through our lives, Lord, so that your name be glorified even in a greater way than before, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to take some time to, if you want to just worship, you're welcome to do that. And I want to really encourage you, if you feel just where you want to pray with somebody, maybe just to bring your heart before God, or maybe just to trust for strength, or if you're going through the season like a pruning season, won't you come to the front, or maybe turn to somebody next to you, but just take a moment to respond to what God is doing in your heart. It's such a precious time to really respond to what God is doing. If you have any other prayer need, if you just need somebody to agree with you in prayer, please come to the front. If you need prayer for healing or provision or whatever your need may be, God has already made a way. So please join me in the front. We'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, have a wonderful week. Please join us for some fellowship outside. If you're visiting, please remember to take your cards to the visitors area, the green area there. Thanks so much for joining us today. And please invite friends for next week, and we'll see you then. God bless.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.